amen, our children can, amen, have the certainty of knowing in an uncertain world that there's someone that loves them, someone that cares for them. A lot of children in third world countries do not experience love like that, many, because they, when they come into this world, if they have some kind of affliction, many of them are put to death in a third world country because of their imperfection. But I'm so glad. Thank God we have a Savior that loves. Amen. I'm glad that many times we've heard the statement say, well, I don't know what it's going to be like for our kids. And that is a true saying, to the point that we don't know what this world may come against them with. But I do know one thing, Brother Randy, thank God that they have a Savior. They have a Lord that loves them. Amen. We'll give them that opportunity to lay His hand of protection upon them and be with them and give them that opportunity when that time comes. To receive the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. Turn to your Bible just for a little while today. The book of Matthew, chapter number 22. Share just a thought with you this morning. Amen. We were sort of seeking the direction the Lord have us to go. And I think it might have been Brother Perry, or while he was giving his devotion, the Lord brought this thought to my heart. You pray that God touch and give us the liberty, and He will, I know that, no shadow of a doubt, be able to preach in such a manner, way that if you're here today, you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but yet not where we need to be in our walk with the Lord. Maybe this will be the opportunity we realize, amen, that do we need to be doing, amen. Amen, just like the theme of our conference this past year, Harvest Time, 2018. Me and Brother Randy were talking just a few minutes before church, and we're all on the same line. Amen. It ought to be about getting out there and seeing souls saved. Getting touched. Boy, I tell you what, I want to see a great harvest this year. I want to see God move in a mighty way. For family members, loved ones that are lost and undone, that need salvation. It ought to be our desire. Charles Spurgeon said this. It ought to be every part of a minister to His part ought to be to win souls, but it also ought to be the main priority of every child of God, amen, to be a soul winner. And if that's not our priority, we need to make it our priority, amen. That is why Brother Jimmy, he came to seek and save that which was lost, and I believe that's what he expects out of us. I believe we've got away from our calling. You said, preacher, what is our calling? Our calling is to share the Word of God. Our calling is to win souls. Our calling is to present the gospel to those who are lost and dying and going to hell, that they might get saved by the grace of God. Help us, amen, to ever be that soul winner that God would have us to be. Amen. We see Matthew chapter 22, start with verse number 1. If you'd like to stand and respect the reading of God's words, you can do so. If you can't, we understand that. Matthew 22, begin verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, Kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants who called in and were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the raiment took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready. They which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. God, I pray, Father, right now, may you help us to be able to expose, God, the truth of this text in such a manner, in such a way, God, that even a child can understand what it's talking about. God, that anyone here today that's never trusted you as Lord of their life, may this be the day the holy convicting power of your Spirit God, deal with that heart, that individual, in such a manner, God, that may be broken by that convicting power. Be made to realize the need of a Savior before it's everlasting too late. God, help us, Lord, as children of God, to understand the importance, God, of going out into the field of the wild already in the harvest. God, and speak to those and tell them about that wedding that's coming. God, and that they may put on the wedding garments of salvation. Amen. And receive that wonderful invitation. Father, we thank you for your love, your worship, your mercy, your grace. Just be asking now that we pray. Amen and amen. We see here in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus speaking. Amen. The Bible said, and Jesus answered, spake to them again by parables and said, he spoke a parable about the kingdom of heaven and how it was like unto a certain king which had made a marriage for his sons. And he sent forth his servants, amen, to call them to the wedding. But the Bible said they wouldn't come. Saying his servant said, you go back and you tell them what you've been. Amen. Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatness to be killed. And then all things are ready. Come to the marriage. The Bible said, verse 5, they began to make light of it. They began to mock. They began to make excuses why they could not come to that wedding, amen, that they had been invited to come. Amen. If you look, you'll find out the Bible. If you look, this is the thing you'll know. Amen. That the context of the story of this parable, that Jesus is painting a picture, amen, the rejection by the Jews to the wonderful gift of his precious son. He began to warn them of the certain doom that was coming, and it did come in 70 A.D. Amen. He'd also tell him of his intention, amen, to go to other nations, go to a heathen nation, to give them the opportunity that the Jews had rejected. Boy, ain't you glad today to thank God that he did go to the Gentiles. He did go to those that were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Paul told the church there in Ephesus in chapter number 2 in Ephesians. He began to talk about, oh, who ye who sometimes were alienated. Son, you sometimes were afar off or may not. Might have let her cry. I'm so glad, thank God, he turned to a Gentile nation. I'm glad he turned to the heathen. Because that's all I was, Brother Randy. Lost in my sin. Had no hope without God. I'm glad, Lord, what Paul said in Ephesians chapter numbers 2. And Brother Perry, Terry Pace, they mentioned it yesterday. I like the two little words. Amen. That Paul spoke and said, but God. I'm so glad that God, amen, when he looked to the Jews, the Bible said he came in his own, and his own received him not. But to admit he had received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm so glad today that he turned to you and I. Gave us the opportunity, amen, to receive the same blessing, the same calling, the same benefit, that the nation of Israel had enjoyed, amen, since God had called his people. He gave you and I to be the opportunity to be grafted in that wild olive branch. But I want you to notice, amen, as the story goes, the Bible said he told them, amen, he said, and they would not come. And he said, you go to the highways. You go out there. Means you shall find them to the marriage. Amen. The Bible said they went out to the highways and, amen, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king saw came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither? Not having a wedding garment, and he was speechless. I want to look upon that thought this morning, on the wedding garment. Amen. We find out, first of all, how we find out the illustration we may mention, how that Jesus was using this parable, to illustrate, amen, that the Jews would not receive what God had given them in the precious Son of God. They rejected the King of the Jews. They rejected the gift. You say, preacher, why was that done? It was done so you and I might have that opportunity. Amen, to be called in. Amen, to that blessing of salvation. It is the illustration of that parable that God used. That showed that the Jews had rejected their king. Had rejected him for who he was. You see, they were not expecting to come as a little baby in a manger. They were not expecting him to come on a donkey, amen, into Jerusalem. They were not expecting that. But I'm so glad. Amen, when he came in his own she did not, but he turned to you and I, Gentiles, gave us that opportunity to receive what, amen, we could not do for ourselves. Did that illustration. Then I want you to notice the wedding garment. Hey man, first of all, we see that that garment speaks of an imitation. If you'll notice the study, you'll find out, hey man, that back in biblical time when there were weddings that took place, hey man, when maybe a master, a king, or had a great wedding feast, how they were inviting folks to. Hey man, the Bible's the history will teach you that. When most of the time, that one that was making the feast, that one that was giving the party, hey man, they had wedding garments. They were white garments that they give to everyone, hey man, that was invited to that feast or to that wedding. Oh, can I say today, hey man, that wedding garment speaks of an invitation. I'm glad the invitation was given out. Brother Perry, this master, hey, when he seen his son was going to have a wedding, he sent the invitation out, all the wedding garments out, I believe to those Jews, and they wouldn't have it. But then he said, you go, amen, to the highways, and another gospel said, you go to the byways, you go to all those places. I don't care if they're bad, I don't care if they're good, I don't care if they're poor, amen, you just, amen, let them know that they're invited to a wedding. Praise the Lord. I was lost and undone. Amen. Had no hope. I had no help for myself. But I'm so glad one day, amen, I received an invitation. Above all, invitation. It was an invitation to a wedding that was going to take place. I'm so glad, thank God. Amen. I still, amen, got that invitation. I'm still expecting, amen, that wedding is going to take place one day, Brother Randy, at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Hey, supper of the Lord. It is that wedding. See, that wedding garment spoke of an invitation. I like what Jesus said there one part in the book of Matthew. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad that Jesus was very lovingly, very generous. Amen, an invitation that he sent out to all. Amen, those, amen, that he run into. Amen, those are sick and afflicted. Amen, even at one time, the Bible said, when little children came and jumped up in his lap, the Bible said, the disciples began to say something about it. Jesus said, you leave them alone. Amen, you suffer the little children that are coming to me. For such as is the kingdom of God. Can I say today, he was very generous in his invitation. Amen, he was willing to invite those, Brother Perry. Amen, that others wouldn't invite. He was able to reach down to others. Amen, that the Jews would not have nothing to do with. He reached down there to the woman at the well, that Samaritan, that the Jews would not go to. Amen, I'm so glad the invitation, that wedding garment speaks of an invitation. I'm just a poor boy. I'm just an outcast according to the world society. Oh, but I'm glad. Oh, that invitation, that got wedding garments, speak of that invitation. Oh, he said, listen. Oh, you're invited. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Oh, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Lang, I'm glad that I've got an invitation. I'm glad that we all that are here this morning have an invitation. Amen, to that blessed wedding feast. We've got an invitation. Why? It's because of that glory. Amen, it speaks of an invitation. But not only does that garment speak of an invitation, but amen, I'm so glad that that garment speaks of an initiation. What is that, preacher? An admittance. The Bible talks about there was a feast fixed to take place. Amen, when those garments went out with those invitations, that gave them a ticket.
But what it allowed them, Brother Randy, it allowed them the initiation or the opportunity to be able to come into that wedding feast. To be able to gain interest. Hey, minute, now I don't know nothing about this because I ain't never been a part of one of them. But you take a lot of these big balls and big galas, they have it up in Washington, D.C. and among rich society. Hey, man, you have an invitation. Hey, man, they've got somebody there at the door. Hey, man, as you go through the door, let me see your invitation, sir. Hey, man, you've got to have, you can't get in without that invitation. I don't care. Hey, man, how much money you try to give the bellhop. You can't get in without that invitation. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. It is that initiation. Hey, man, that way of entrance into that event. I'm so glad the wedding garment. It is that initiation. It is that what Jesus said, I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the sheepfold. Can I tell you today, He is the only way. Haven't Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And that He is our initiation. That wedding garment speaks of our admittance, of our invitation, of our initiation to a place that we cannot go without it. Many folks today are trying to gain admittance to heaven by good works. Can't make it. Many folks are trying to gain admittance to that great marriage supper. Heaven that's going to take place one day. I say, well, my dad's a preacher. My dad's a deacon. My name's this. You don't understand what family I come from. It don't matter what family you come from. Honey, the only way that you're going to get into that wedding feast, you're going to have that wedding garment as your way in. No other way. Living on what side of the day, folks that I talk to, even some folks that I work with, and they'll say, well, Brother Joe, I feel like if you, I've tried to be good, I've tried to do right, hey man, I try to treat people right, they do, hey man. I don't care how much you give to the poor. I don't care how good you try to live. Can I say, if you don't come in, hey man, by the wedding garment, that wedding garment's not a part of your apparel. You've not been, hey man, given that invitation, that wedding garment, you will not get into heaven. You will not make it into the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. It is our way in. The wedding garment speaks of an invitation. It speaks of an invitation. But I like this. It speaks of an image. I like that. Oh, go ahead and shout if you want to. Brother Andy, I believe there were some folks there that the Bible said, go to the poor. You go to the good. You go to the bad. You go down. It don't matter what kind of clothes they got on. It don't matter how ragged they are. It don't matter how smelly they are. It don't matter how many holes they got. Hey, man, in their breeches and their jackets and their robes. Hey, man, you just go in there and you give them their wedding garment. And when they come in that wedding garment, they'll come in. Hey, man, with that robe. That robe. That white wedding garment. That the master had provided for. It don't matter what's under there. You can't see it. How? Because they have an image of that robe. They have an image of what the master has provided them. I'm so glad, thank God. Oh, I got a wedding garment one day. Thank God of the righteousness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou said, oh, that we are. Oh, our righteousness is a filthy rag. Everything God went to do, Brother Randy, to try to be good, wasn't that but a filthy rag. But one day I put the wedding garment on. Yeah, man, it was the image of the Master. Those there at that wedding feast, honey, when they looked at those that had the garments on, they couldn't see what was under there. They couldn't see that old man. Whew. They couldn't see that old lifestyle. Oh, hallelujah. They couldn't see. Heaven, oh, place that they'd be in. Oh, they could see. Oh, he got the garment on. Oh, all I see is the master. I don't see nothing else. I'm so glad when the old accuser comes my way. Amen. He began to accuse the brethren. He said, Lord, he said, don't you see that field? Amen. Don't you see his life? Don't you see that junk? Amen. Oh, the Lord said, wait a minute. All I see is the righteousness of Jesus. All I see is the righteousness of the Master. All I see is the image of the Son. All I see, amen, is that white raiment.
Yes, sir.
That's all I see.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That wedding garment speaks to them an image. Amen, that we don't have. All that is imputed to us. Brother Randy, is given to us. Oh, I'm just an old filthy. Hey, man, my rags are still as filthy as they always have been. Everything that I go to do, everything that I try to be within myself, it's just filth. It's just whack. Oh, but I'm glad I've got something on. Oh, that's what the Lord looks at. He looks at the righteousness. Amen. I'm glad the Bible said he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, I've got my wedding garment on. Amen. It ain't me that lives. Amen. But it's the one that lives in me. And the Christ, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Paul saying, all I can do, all I can live by the law is filth. It's my righteousness. But it's not the righteousness of the law. Not having mine own, he said, which is by the law. But he said, it's a righteousness which is by the faith of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did. Can I say that if you're here today, you're trying to get to heaven by being good. You're trying to get to heaven by, amen, giving all the money you can give. Amen, to help everybody you can help. Can I say, hey man, one day you'll understand and realize you'll just be like this individual, hey man, that came into the wedding without the garment on. Hey man, the master said, where's your garment on? Hey man, can I say today, hey man, the only way is that that garment speaks of an imitation. It speaks of initiation. It speaks of an image. You see, glad it's not nothing we can do within ourselves. I like what he's saying. King, when he came in to see the great guest, saw there a man, hey man, that had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither? In other words, how you didn't even get in here? How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment on? Then he said this. And he was speechless. Can I say today, one day, you can try every way you know how to live. Live the best you can live. One day when you stand before the Lord, amen, you'll be speechless. Well, Master, I received the invitation. I received that opportunity to put on that wedding garment. But I just didn't see no need of it. I thought I'd be all right. Yeah, I didn't have to put it on. I had some good garb. I had a beautiful robe. Hey, I had a beautiful coat that I thought was just as good. I'm just going to wear it, Brother Randy. You know what? Honey, you can put on the most beautiful, fleshly, earthly coat that you have. Think that'll be all right. Honey, it ain't good enough. That robe of doing good works, that robe of living a good life, that robe of treating folks right, honey, it ain't going to have no weight. Amen, when it comes time to get into the marriage feast, the only thing that's going to get you into that marriage feast, amen, is a precious robe that's been provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is that robe and that robe only, amen, that will gain you entrance to that marriage seat, gain you entrance to the kingdom of God. Amen, you can, amen, go to church, have a time that door's open, and still die and go to hell. Why? Because you've never put the robe of righteousness, you've never put that wedding garment on, and because of that, you'll never gain entrance to the kingdom of heaven. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That wedding garment speaks of an identification. You see, identified, amen, that they had been bidden. It identified, Brother Randy, the fact that they had accepted and the fact that they had put on that wedding garment and the fact that they were looking forward to that day. Amen. They were not trusting in their own self, but they were trusting in what had been provided for them.
Amen. Amen.
You see, what that man had on at the wedding garment was something he provided for himself. Probably pretty. Probably the best he had. But it wasn't good enough. You see, that wedding garment speaks of not only of that invitation, that initiation, that image, but it also spoke of an identification. It identified him, Brother Randy, hey man, with what the Master had provided for him. Identified, hey man, him with the fact that he had obeyed, hey man, he had received and obeyed of that provision that the Master had gave him for that wedding feast, and he gladly, amen, those that had it on gladly put them on, but it identified them that they had obeyed the Master's command. But this man had not. It identified him as one that had not took, had not used that was provided to be able to gain entrance to the place called heaven. Those folks in hell right now, hey man, that are probably saying, I wish I'd put it on. Oh, the Holy Ghost of God came by my heart one day. That old preacher preached the word of God, preached the message of salvation. Him and the Holy Ghost of God brought that wedding garment with him and said, here, this month, this is yours, and you just put it on. I looked at it, thought about putting that thing on, but I said, well, I'm just going to do it my way. I wish I'd have put it on. I wish I'd have received the righteousness, amen, that's come through faith in Jesus Christ and the wonderful plan of salvation. I wish I had been clothed with that gift of salvation. I wish I'd put it on. Folks in hell, he said, bind him up. Catch him to outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Speaks of a place away from God. You see, the only way that we can come near to God, amen, is through that wedding garment. It's through the righteousness, amen, by faith, what Jesus did. On that wonderful, amen, his burial, amen, his virgin birth, his perfect life, his atoning a price of his blood that was shed on Calvary, amen, and thank God that resurrection from the dead on that third day, establishing that plan of salvation, making available that wedding garment for all who would receive it. I say today, do you have on the wedding garment? Let me make this statement, I'll close. Honey, I believe if you have on the wedding garment, you'll remember the day you put it on. You'll remember the day that thing got put up on your back. Honey, 8-year-old boy, about 38 years ago, or no, 48 years ago, excuse me. I think that's right. Yeah, something like that. About 48 years ago, can't talk. South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Tuesday night revival meeting, about right here. Hey, man, is an altar about this side? About right here. Thank God I knelt. thank God and ask Him, say, Lord, I'm just a sinner on my way to hell. I need salvation. I'm glad that day, Brother Randy, I put on that wedding garment. I've had it on. I'm going to keep it on. I ain't taking it off. Why? Because, thank God, that invitation and that marriage feast is going to take place. Amen. That's what has gained me. Amen. It ain't nothing I can do within myself. I'm still no good. Fit for nothing. Oh, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that wedding garment has been put upon my shoulders. And every time the devil began to say, look at him. Oh, the Lord said, wait a minute. All I see, I don't see that old man. I see the wedding garment.
Amen. I'm identified, amen, with my master. I'm in the image of my master. Why? Because of the wedding garment. Oh, that old filth, that old junk on the inside. Amen. The devil may try to bring it up, but amen. All you can see, the righteousness of Christ. Can I say today, do you have the wedding garment on? As I said a while ago, if you've truly been saved by the grace of God, and I truly believe this, if you've truly been saved by the grace of God, you will never forget the day that God saved your soul. I may forget a lot of things. I may forget my name sometimes, forget where I live and what your name is sometimes, and I do that. One thing I ain't going to forget, I ain't going to forget the day that God, I can tell you the exact minute, the exact hour. I can go back in my heart, I can tell you the feeling. When the convicting power of God got a hold of my heart and I began to grab that old pew, realized I was lost, and if I died in my lost condition, I was going to split hell wide open. But I'm so glad, thank God. Amen. That day, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. All I remember is stepping out. The next thing I know, I was at the altar saying, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I need to be saved. I'm glad that day I got saved.
Amen.
Ain't never forgot it. You see, it is the most important thing that has ever happened to me in my life. Can I say the day you got saved, it is the most important thing that will ever happen to you in your life. I promise you that. I've got a beautiful wife, and I can remember what she looked like when she stepped through that those doors when I stand at the altar right when she was coming to her wedding. I was fixing to get married. I can still remember that beauty. Hey, man, when he opened up them double doors at Centennial, I seen my bride. Oh, man, my old heart melted. I won't never forget that. Won't ever forget when my little girl was born. Won't ever forget when my little boy was born, Brother Brian. Those are moments that I will never forget. But yet one that outshines them all is the day that God saved my soul. It outshines everything, Brother Dwayne, that's ever happened in my life. But why? Because that was the best thing that whatever has ever happened and will ever happen in my life. It's because of that. Amen. It being in my life, it allows me to be a better dad, a better husband, a better individual. It's because of that relationship with the Lord. And I say today, if you cannot remember the day you got saved, might I check up. Might ought to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to be sure. God, I don't want to miss heaven just because I think I've got it. Lord, I want to know without a shadow of a doubt. Brother Jimmy's back there shaking his head. He can testify. Hey, man, here was one. And boy, went through the motions of being a Christian. Went through. Boy, everybody thought he was a Christian. Hey, man, but God showed him. Hey, man, you ain't saved. Hey, man, not long about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago. Hey, man, you ain't going to forget that day, are you, Jimmy? Hey, man, God gloriously saved him. Why? Because he wasn't sure. I want to know. Now, today, you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved by the grace of God. Right here is a good place to put the wedding garment on. You see, that wedding garment speaks of an invitation. It's that invitation has been given to you right now. Holy Ghost of God doing your heart right now. It's speaking to your heart right now. Oh, I want you to know. I want you to be sure. I want you to know that you've got that wedding garment on. All you got to do is you can be identified with part of my family. You can be identified through that robe and that robe only. Every head bowed, that's the message.